Robin, the sidekick to Batman, is known for his cheesy exclamations that would sum up the situation they were in. This was my favorite one when I Googled it. Holy strawberries, Batman, we're in a jam. Wah, wah, right, okay. So, and if you spend any amount of time thinking about that word holy and how you might use that word in your own life, if you're anything like me, it often comes out more in the vein of how Robin uses it, or worse, instead of in the holy way that we're taught by Jesus today to think of and to address God. So let's go back a minute and ground ourselves in this holiness of God by going back to a story in the third chapter of Exodus. Moses is walking along and there's this bush and it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And so I think, just like Moses, I think you and I would stop and be like, what is going on? And so he stops to check it out, and God calls to him from the burning bush, and Moses says, yeah, I'm right here. And then God says, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And then God continues. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So it's not just holy ground, but it's a holy encounter that Moses has with God. And this, just in case this is not a familiar story to you, this is just the beginning of God trying to convince Moses. He's telling Moses, you got to go free the Israelites. And Moses is like, yeah, well, I don't speak so good. He starts this argument with God, which, if you're looking for a model for prayer, there it is, folks, at least in my life. I think Moses is a great model. But anyway, the instructions that we get from Jesus as he teaches his disciples to pray, he doesn't tell them, take off your sandals when you come upon a holy moment with God. But instead, in this teaching of this prayer, Jesus teaches us how to view God when we address God in prayer. And that when God is part of a thing, part of a relationship, then it's holy. So God's very name is holy, and then when we have an encounter with God, it's holy. Now the thing about holiness, about something being sacred, is that it's set apart. So Moses' encounter with the burning bush, now that's a set apart experience, right? That's something that is like no other. It was something that was set apart. And today, right now, here we are in a place and time set apart just for worship. To come and to worship a God that we have a relationship with, that we want a deeper relationship with, that we want a relationship with at all. And it's my priority, it's actually my job, to then make it very clear to you how much God loves you. It's not about abstractions and about preaching a sermon that makes you feel farther away from God. But actually, my job is to come here and tell you how madly in love God is with you. With each one of you. And I get to remind you of that each and every week, if not if I see you on a daily basis. It's the best job in the world. But the thing is that God's holiness, this sacred time and space, well, it's not just limited to worship. Otherwise, I'd only work one day a week for an hour, people, right? I would fulfill that rumor that's out there about pastors. Yeah, right, just one day a week. You see, God's holiness is linked to the very name of who God is and what God does. So God gives life. And so that means God's holiness is part of your daily life. It's part of your relationship with God. Because, you see, having a relationship with God, being part of God's holiness, then it leads us into the breaking open of God's kingdom right here and right now. It's about living into God's will right here and right now. The reality of God's kingdom. So when you think of God's kingdom, you might think when I die, right? Or you might think of a cloud with maybe majestic sort of notions of castles or things. But when God's kingdom comes, that means God's love is the center of our lives, and everything changes when that happens, right? So that's what God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. And God's will is that we love one another. And if those things were to happen, well, it passes understanding, right? It passes even description to try and explain what that might look like. But I try each and every week. See, because we often, instead of thinking about holiness in our everyday lives, we like to have things in neat categories, black and white, with a nice line drawn between the sacred, what is holy, and the secular, what doesn't have God as part of it, right? Now, I was sick most of this last week, and so I wasn't able to be at the fair as often as I like, talking to people. But one afternoon, I was able to go for a little while, and I overlapped with Jeanette and Jerry Lindbergh. And I said, "How's it going?" And they were telling me the people they've met and the people they talked to. And then Jeanette said, "Well, there's this one guy who came up to me and said, beer and hymns just doesn't belong together, and that's what I believe." And she said, "That's, you can believe that," she said. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with River of Hope, we do a thing once a month called Beer and Hymns. And if it makes you kind of turn your head to the side like, "What did she just say?" A lot of people have that reaction because it's this coupling of two things that we think don't belong together. Now, for this gentleman, now, Jeanette was beautiful in how she responded to him. She just said, "Yeah, and, you know, you don't have to come." And that's, you're allowed to believe that. That's okay. Like, they didn't have to have a big argument about it. He could have his belief, and she could have hers, and off they went. But for this gentleman, it was too much for him to think that God could be at a bar where we could be singing hymns. There was a crossing of a line, maybe, for him from the sacred into the secular, where God most certainly would not be. Yet, if we limit God to being present only in a worship space, that God can't show up at Main Street Sports Bar, or God can't show up at the fair, or God can't show up in places or situations that might seem kind of terrible or hard, well, that's not a very creative God or a very powerful God to be limited by our imaginations, to be limited by, "Well, God certainly can't be here." That doesn't seem like a very powerful God to me, a God who would play it safe by our rules, by our lines. Because I know you've seen God in places that has taken your breath away, either from its sheer awesomeness or from the depth of its pain. I know that you have seen God in places that had you surprised. Maybe you've had a burning bush experience. Maybe you've had something where you've thought, "I cannot believe I saw that or heard that or that happened." Or maybe you're still waiting for that. Or maybe you've encountered God in small, normal, everyday kinds of ways. There are unlimited ways that God comes to us. But I know that many of you have experienced God in even those painful and hard times, or especially then, at a loved one's deathbed, or as you hug your crying child, or as you watch someone you love suffer, or as your own health continues to decline, or as fill in the blank, right? Many of you have pointed to God, to me, in those times. You have told me how it is God was part of that holy and awful time. Because if it were up to us to decide what was holy and what wasn't, we would box God out in a heartbeat. And I think the church is guilty of this, and I know I have been guilty of this. You see, there's a perception about churches that in order to come to worship or to be part of a church, you got to be holier than thou, right? Well, raise your hand if you fit into that category. Should all just be sitting on your hands, right? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to decide, oh, you're holy and you're holy and you're holy, but not you and not you and not you. It doesn't work that way. God is the one who comes into our lives and comes into situations and brings the holiness. We don't, right? We don't bring the holy. God brings the holy. We don't get to decide. And so all of a sudden, we belong to a really big club, you guys, right? This room may not seem that big, but when you talk about who God loves, well, no walls can hold in that club. There is no holier than thou other than God, right? God is holy, and God decides who he loves and who is holy. Because I know reaching out to someone on the first day of school, whether you are a student or a teacher, reaching out to someone who looks terrified or who is alone at lunch, that is God's kingdom right there. That is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is holy ground. Or just this last week, that heartbreaking moment in the Olympics as the two runners tripped and fell and then one stopped to help the other up. That is God's kingdom come, God's will be done. That is holy ground. You see, it all hinges on relationship because God needs us to love people. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, and that can't happen without us. Just think, this holy and mighty God needs us to show that love in the world. God cannot do it without us. It takes our relationship and God's promise of love to power this whole thing. And it's why we gather for worship. And it's why soon we will gather right around this baptismal font and we will gather with Olive and we will pour water over her head and we will make bold promises to her in God's name. You see, God initiates a relationship with her through this water and God's promise to claim and love her and not only make her a precious child of God, but also plunges her into a relationship with the likes of us. I know, what a mess, right? Because when God speaks to Moses, he identified himself in a relationship. He said, yeah, I've known you all along. I knew your dad. I knew all these other people. I've loved you since before you were born. And these are the promises we get to say to all of today, that they are true through God's promises. And you know what? They are true for each and every one of you. Whether you have been baptized or not, I believe this water and God's love holds promise for you from before you were born until you live into that next step of eternal life with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yesterday, today and tomorrow and always. And that's a promise that is for me, and that's a promise that is for you. And it can only be made by the God who we address as Father and as holy. And we say, thanks be to God. Amen.